Bullseye on the afternoon here on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM. Andy Bullbarch, Rocco Nucci with you until 6 o'clock tonight. Time now for us to head back to the hotline as we welcome in Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com and Bang the Book Radio. Adam, we appreciate the time as always, and we have a host of different topics I'd like to tackle here. Let's begin, though, with your most recent edition of the Bettors Box podcast. You talked about the NL Central, and I want to talk about some of these teams because these teams, of course, will have a big impact on what the Tribe does this year since the Indians will play all of these NL Central teams. Who or what stands out when you examine the NL Central?
Yeah, you know, the National League Central is a really interesting division, and I guess we might as well first say, you know, happy one-week anniversary until Major League Baseball gets underway for the Indians here. The Central Division, you know, something that stood out to me as I was researching and re-researching, because I've already done a lot of work on these teams, but the fact that four of them at the sports book that I referenced on yesterday's podcast had win totals of 31.5. The other team, the Pirates, 25.5. So it looks, at least in the betting markets, that this is a full-fledged four-horse race of teams that aren't really separated by a whole lot here in the division. And I'm not necessarily sure that's the case. I think in this 60-game format, particularly with the universal DH, I think the Reds are set up the best of any of the NL Central teams. They've got a lot of offense that they brought in with Nick Castellanos, Mike Moustakas, Shogo Akiyama. They should get a better year from Joey Votto, who was basically a league-average hitter last year for the first time in his career. Previously, he had been at least 24% above league average every season otherwise. So you got to think he bounces back. They've added some offense. They have the best pitching coach in all of baseball in Derek Johnson. He did great things with the Brewers a few years ago, goes over to the Reds, does the same thing with them. I think the Reds are the top team here in the NL Central, and all the other teams are a lot more flawed than the Reds. The Cubs have a good offense, but the pitching staff, in particular the bullpen, very questionable. The Cardinals' pitching staff is questionable as well. They've lost Jordan Hicks, who opted out. John Brebbia had Tommy John surgery. Giovanni Gallegos still hasn't reported to camp yet. So their bullpen's missing three pretty big arms. And the Milwaukee Brewers, I think, are a pretty high variance team. They've got the best player in the division in Christian Yelich, but their pitching staff, they've got some guys who profile better as relievers. So we don't know what they'll look like in a starting capacity. The Reds are the most complete team to me. And I'm happy that the Indians wind up with their interleague rivals being the Pirates, as opposed to the Reds, like we all thought.
And I'm glad you mentioned that, because I think the Tribe certainly benefits substantially from playing the Pirates six times this season. And I think it's easy to sit here and poke fun at some of these teams in a 60-game season. Certainly there are a lot of possibilities, but boy, this Pirates team is pretty rough.
Yeah, this Pirates team is not good. And again, I mean, we talk about 60 games six times and 10% of your season now all of a sudden against the Pittsburgh Pirates. And the Pirates, like I mentioned, season win total 25.5. I didn't play anything for them on the full season. They had a very low season win total for obvious reasons. I mean, this is a bad team. They were going to run out a $50 million opening day payroll. They're just not looking to spend money. The one thing that could be different for the Pirates here this year, and maybe we've got, you know, some leak over here with some Pittsburgh fans, is that last year it was a toxic environment. Felipe Vasquez is a garbage person, as we've come to find out. You know, he got into fist fights with other guys out there in the bullpen. Clint Hurdle knew he was a dead man walking, so he didn't really fully buy in over the course of the season. They've changed the courses now. They've fired Neil Huntington. So the Pirates, it'll be a different mindset, maybe a higher level of morale day in and day out. But at the same time, you talk about morale and you talk about how unique this season is, everybody in a bubble, this and that. I don't know if that really shows up here if you're the Pirates and you wind up losing, you know, the vast majority of your games. So the Pirates don't have a lot of talent. Jameson Taillon's out from Tommy John surgery. Chris Archer's out from a major procedure of his own. They don't have a good starting rotation. They only have Josh Bell and Brian Reynolds in the lineup. And the bullpen has some tough guys, but they're not going to have a lot of leads to protect. So the Indians really lucked out here playing six games against the Pirates instead of six games against the Reds. It's only a difference of, I believe, two or three games, something like that. But in this 60-game format where every single game matters, that could be the difference for the Indians getting those extra couple games against Pittsburgh.
Could be a huge difference. And not only do they have those against Pittsburgh, don't forget about the games they've got against both the Royals and the Tigers, too. So this shapes up as a really fascinating schedule for the Tribe, indeed. And as Adam mentioned, they get going 1 week from today. We're speaking with Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com and Bang the Book Radio. We'll transition into some golf talk now. Boy, the Memorial is always such an awesome event. We thought there'd be fans. Then, of course, a couple of weeks ago, they kind of pumped the brakes on that. So things will be a little bit different down at Muirfield Village. But the field at the Memorial is very, very strong. You wrote about a few guys who could be viewed as value picks and potential sleepers in this weekend's tournament. Who falls into that category?
Well, the first thing I got to say is this. Man, is this course playing different this week? You had a lot of players hang high 70s, low 80s on Thursday. Dustin Johnson shot an 88 over. Ricky Fowler shot an 81, so he was 9 over. Some really good players are getting chewed up and spit out by this course. Tiger Woods looks like he's going to miss the cut here this week. Hideki Matsuyama did not play well in his first round. He shot 3 over. The projected cut is 2 over right now, as we're recording a little bit early here for this segment. So, this course is playing a lot different. And, we're not seeing the same exact profile of players that did well last week. The ball striker types, the guys that, can just kind of hammer it off the tee, play the second shot from wherever. That really hasn't been the game plan here this week. So you may be looking more for the weekend here at guys that just put it in the fairway and just kind of go station to station, put it in the fairway, hit your approach shot, go putt. Maybe you make your putt. Maybe you two putt. Pars are actually really good scores here so far. So that brings out guys like a Lucas Glover, who is actually in the top 10 here, shot an even par 72 on Friday. That's a guy that doesn't stand out in any particular metric, but he's just pretty solid across the board in a lot of them. Gary Woodland, a guy that's solid across the board. Tony Finau is actually doing a really good job with the putter this weekend so far. So he's a guy that's up there at the top. A couple of guys I think I'd look for here that are starting their rounds in a little bit. Patrick Cantlay plays really well on this course. I think he's in good shape for the weekend. Also, as much as people don't like it, I think Jordan Spieth could be a guy that fits well with this course profile because he's kind of a good scrambler. He's kind of a guy that makes things up at times as he goes. And finally, one more, a horse for course type of guy. Matt Kuchar's got 8 top 15 finishes at Muirfield Village. He shot a 5-under 67 on Friday. I think he'll be a player going into the weekend as he was able to erase the 76 he had on Thursday.
And as you mentioned, what an incredible difference, not only from last week, but really from the first few weeks since golf returned, because we were looking at winning scores in the low 20s. For a while there. So I'm not sure if it's refreshing, if it's good, bad, or somewhere in the middle here that we're seeing some much, much higher scores. But it looks like this particular weekend, Adam, in golf is going to be way different than perhaps the last month has shown us.
Yeah, and you know what? I think that this is probably a welcome change, quite frankly. And I know that, the tougher the course is, the more that you run the risk of not getting those elite guys, in your final pairings on Sunday, just simply because, they may struggle. When you're talking about a course where it's, a chip and putt tournament, basically, those guys that are really, really good are going to be at the top of the board like they have been pretty much week in and week out. When a course plays a lot tougher, you would think those guys would be at the top. But oftentimes what we see is, guys that have the best putting days wind up being the ones at the top, like Tony Finau yesterday. Finau's not a great putter, but he led the field. He was over 4 strokes gained putting. Winds up with a 3-under here on Friday to tie atop the lead. But that's what happens. It winds up being a putting tournament, and sometimes guys just roll it better with the putter than others, and sometimes those guys that don't roll it well are some of the big names, like we see guys that are going to miss the cut here this week.
Weekly, you have a spot in your article reserved for the horse for course section. Love the name. Just fantastic stuff. So who falls into the horse for course section for the Memorial this weekend?
Well, like I said, I think Patrick Cantlay is a guy that, has played really, really well here throughout his career. And he's a guy in striking distance as he's getting ready for his second round. Another guy that plays really well here who, actually played very, very well last week, but he's know, kind of struggling here this week is Kevin Streelman. And what's interesting about this week is that some of the guys that played well last week, like Morikawa, Justin Thomas has not actually played all that well here. Looks like he's probably going to make the cut, but he had a tough first round shooting two over. Victor Hovland is a guy that's kind of hovering on the cut line right now. But a lot of the guys that played well last week maybe didn't account for all the changes that were going to happen to the course here for this week. Some of the guys up at the top of the board didn't play here last week. They took last week off, didn't have any preconceived notions about the course. So maybe this is one of those cases, and this is the first time since 1957 we've had back-to-back events at the same course. You know, maybe that was actually a detriment for some of these guys like Streelman, like Morikawa, like Thomas, like some of the other guys that played pretty well last week. You know, Xander Schauffele is a guy I thought would play better here. He was six over in his first round. So I think this is one of those weeks where, again, just such a unique situation that we're not really seeing the horse-for-course guys come out and play well, maybe because they were trying to play last week's course with a much tougher layout.
Well, with that, we transition into some racing talk to finish things up. This weekend, NASCAR has the O'Reilly's Auto Parts 500 taking place at Texas Motor Speedway. Who do you like in this weekend's race?
Yeah, this is one of those traditional mile-and-a-half tracks. So there are some guys that are much better on mile-and-a-half tracks than others. You think of guys like Martin Truex Jr., Brad Keselowski. But I'm actually staying away from those two guys here this week. I think Joey Logano at 10-1 is a really, really good play here. We've got a lot of track data because this is a twice-a-year stop for the NASCAR Cup Series. So we've got some guys with upwards of, you know, 25 or 30 races here. Logano's been pretty solid. He's been pretty consistent at this track. So I do like him at 10-1. Also, Erik Jones, a guy that doesn't have a lot of experience here, only seven cup races, but he's got three top fives, five top 10 finishes. He actually has one of the highest average finishes here, again, albeit in that smaller sample size. But last week we saw Cole Custer win, and it was a very surprising outcome at Kentucky Speedway. And what happened with Custer winning is that he stole an automatic playoff spot. So now if you're outside of the top 15 in points, you've got to run with a little bit more urgency. And a guy like Erik Jones is outside of the top 15 in points. He's probably going to need a win to get in, and he's run very well on this track. So you certainly get these guys with a lot more to gain and really nothing to lose. Some of them will be longer shot guys. I think Erik Jones is one of them. And then finally, one other Ford to go along with Logano here. Eric Almirola, he had five straight top five finishes going into last week at Kentucky, where he finished eighth, but he led the most laps, won the first stage. He's had a phenomenal car, great speed. Ford has had great speed all year long and at the tail end of last year, too. Almirola is about 20 or 22 to 1 out there. So I like Logano, Jones, and Almirola all at double digit prices this weekend in Texas.
Great stuff. Looking forward to that. And Adam, the next time you and I speak, we will be talking about some Major League Baseball opening day scheduled to go down 6 days from today for the Tribe. They get going next Friday, 1 week from today. But the next time we talk, we'll be talking about some Major League Baseball. Looking forward to that. We appreciate the time as always, Adam.
Absolutely, Andy. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Adam. You do the same. Again, that's Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com and Bang the Book Radio joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Let's step aside and take a break. Rocco Nucci and I will come back with more after this here on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM.